listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
There's no way there's a load management.
No
in the
way.
There's
that'd
no
a,
way.
That'd be a load of something.
Wow. People would go crazy. Like, it can't be load management. You know, we got a schedule here. It's game 7 tonight, but we can't play them.
We're up 3-1 in the first round. I got to, you know what? We got this one charted.
No. Right. Sorry, man. The chart says what it says.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, will be in studio in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take on the Leaf loss last night. We'll get back into what Austin Matthews said post-game, what Nazem Kadri said post-game. Morgan Riley, the accusations running wild last night on Twitter, and he was cleared today. The NHL did their full investigation into the alleged homophobic slur, and it was not Morgan Riley. And he and Kyle Dubas set up shop down at Scotiabank today at 2 p.m. and held a press conference, and they kind of explained their stance on it all. I think they came off looking mature, looking professional, as you would expect. We had Mark Shapiro join us in the previous hour. Jonah Siegel's in here from The Athletic. And I wasn't really aware of this Sid Fernandez reference. Had you ever
heard? Remember him? Yeah, I remember him. Like, vaguely from the Mets. Like,
I don't remember him.
I just remember the name. I don't remember anything about him. I think he had a mustache.
Yeah, he had
everyone.
A look.
What, did he play in the 80s? Everyone had a mustache.
But like
in the
I
80s.
Was a kid, like those were my identifying factors.
Keith Hernandez had a mustache.
Keith Hernandez still has a mustache.
Does he still have? I'm trying to think.
I'm pretty sure he still.
I watched a lot of their broadcasts. I'm not sure. Yeah, he must. I couldn't shave it.
I can't picture him with anything but a mustache. He's no different than the Tap Man. I mean, those guys. If you have a mustache for 30 years, you don't lose the mustache ever.
I guess. I don't know. Like, Al, I've never seen you without a beard.
Yeah, Al only wears a beard. I've never seen him with anything but a beard. Once you go,
is that
I think,
in your mantra? Like, is that you're the beard
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, originally it was to shape the jawline, and then now it just looks good. I'm stuck with
it. I think it
beard.
Does look good.
Yeah, I think that's your identity
that's
now.
That's your identity, but yeah. I mean, I don't think I could. I could grow a mustache if I wanted to.
What do you
it
think
doesn't
the,
look good.
The people at TSN would say to you if you came in to the studio with
I'd
a
get
mustache.
An email from our boss saying,
shave
like,
that.
Yeah. Like it would, that wouldn't even, it would be the headline. Like it wouldn't even, there wouldn't be any comment below.
Just mustache
it would just
capital
letters. Say, shave that. That's it. Two words, shave that, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Of the three of you guys, you, Owen, and Hayes, the Hazy Dot, what is it?
Hazy B.
Get it right, Jonas.
Who do you think could pull off the mustache best?
Oh, could pull a mustache.
O-Dog can, yeah. O's, I mean, his most famous hockey pitcher, he's got the full beard going when he's got his eye half shut. And
yes, but that's not a mustache.
No, but you could cut it down. It. Like, he could grow a Tom Selleck, like a full, is it Sam Elliott, the guy from Roadhouse?
Yes, with
he
the
could
great
grow
voice.
Guaranteed the Sam Elliott. I O-Dog, and I don't know how it would look. Like every day, but I guarantee, like he could look like a cop, like police officers, like he would pull you over.
Yeah, he really could.
Me, I would look.
You would look like someone a cop is chasing.
Yeah, I would look like an exchange student.
Right. You're on a list and you're not supposed to, you know, you're hanging around schools and you shouldn't be there and the cop taps you on the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
And says, I'm profiling here based on your mustache.
Yeah, I would not look good.
No. And me neither. I'm not claiming that I would, but
can you grow one? You think?
Yeah, I think I could. I'm not ever going to do it. I don't have any interest in doing it. But this is a morbid conversation. But like, if someone's got a beard, like Jonas, you've had a beard since I've known you. I've known you for over 10 years. I've never seen you without a beard. I just assume you're always going to be beard guy. When you die, hopefully in 55 years from now, but if the mortician like shaved you. Would your family take issue with that?
If I was like clean shaven,
yeah.
All of
if you're
a sudden,
clean shaven in the casket, would that be a problem? You
What's
think
the
for
protocol?
People?
Do you think?
Well, why would you? Like, why
Maybe
would
they
a
just give it a trim?
Go, why would a mortician go like, I got to shave that face now?
I don't know what they do.
Well, okay. Only thing that I believe that they get direction from the family. So if like the wife or whatever is like, I've never seen this face ever without a beard shaven.
Wouldn't it kind of be like beyond the grave? It's a pretty big shot. Like. If your wife tells the mortician, shave that face, I've hated it for 60 years. Like, you know, that's
well, I'm not going to know.
You wouldn't know,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. What are you going to do?
But what if you're like, you know, a ghost, like you're Patrick Swayze, you're coming back, you're like, oh, she's telling me she hated the beard the whole time.
Yeah.
I've had it for 60 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like your spouse or your significant other would come up, like, in 60 years, it's going to come up. Like, I hate your face, or I hate your beard, or whatever. You know, you have those arguments. There's going to be some candid comments.
How incredibly passive-aggressive would that be? In the casket, they get you to shave that thing. That's, like, 60 years has been brewing. They've hated that mustache.
But there are famous people that you've never, ever seen, you know, their full face. Like, they've always been beard guy or mustache guy.
The,
like,
Tab Man is the best example. One of the most famous sports broadcasters in the history of the country.
Yeah.
Yes guy, no guy. I've never seen him without a stash.
If he came in here with no stash, would you be shocked?
I'd be shocked. Shocked. So anyway, the reason we bring this up is because Sid Fernandez, there was a Sid Fernandez name drop by Mark Shapiro, and I got to give him credit. I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know what Sid Fernandez is up to these days.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to believe he's a fan of Overdrive, but if he was listening, I can't imagine he would have been happy, because we asked Shapiro about, you know, the build, let's be honest, the weight of Vlady Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
You know, and he said effectively, listen, we had a conversation with CC Sabathia 20 years ago when he was in Cleveland. Watch yourself. You want to make sure you put yourself in the best position to succeed, and you got to take care of your body, because if you don't, this is what could happen.
You know, you could be Sid Fernandez and eat your way out of the game.
That stings if you're Sid Fernandez. You're known as the guy who ate himself out of baseball.
Like, that's what...
Like, Mark Shapiro's got no connection to him, as far as I know. Like, he's a baseball lifer. I'm sure Shapiro's crossed paths with the guy.
Okay.
But you're issuing that as the analogy. Vladdy, don't pull a Sid Fernandez.
Next time we talk to Steve Phillips, we will ask, what was Sid Fernandez known for? Phillips may go like, well, a wicked batter, or, you know, he was...
Well, his numbers are good. His numbers are good,
right? Yeah,
but I'm saying,
like, wicked slider, wicked, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
He may not go, well, this guy ate himself out of the league.
All right.
You know, you could be Sid Fernandez and eat your way out of the game.
We'll basically lead the witness, and we'll see what Steve says. We won't tell him that we're going to do it. And next time he's on, we'll just say, hey, you know, Sid Fernandez popped up in conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Nice. What's he known for?
What do you remember him as?
Okay, that is going to be your question next time we have Steve Phillips on.
Absolutely.
Now, is he scheduled to be on, like, this week or next week?
We could probably get Steve whenever we want. I don't know if maybe later in the week. We'll get Steve on later in the week, and we'll ask him about Sid Fernandez.
We've got lots of baseball talk to talk about. Yeah. Why not have Steve on? But we have to lead the witness ever so gently.
Absolutely. We will. All right, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, will be in studio in about 15 minutes. The Leafs and the Raptors, they punked themselves last night. I mean, there's been a lot of distractions because of the Morgan Rielly stuff, because of what Matthews said after the game, and we'll get to that in just a moment, because Serge Ibaka went crazy and tried to kill somebody on the court last night. There have been a lot of distractions. The fact of the matter is the Raptors should never lose to Cleveland, period. If you're going to lose to Cleveland, you can't get your doors blown off the way they did last night. They played poorly. The Leafs are a different story. They played the best team in the game. Tampa's clearly. Like, there isn't anybody in their stratosphere.
What's the gap right now between them and two? Let's
I think
see.
They're 17 points up on Boston, I believe.
And Boston's three. Who's two?
Wasn't Calgary there?
No, Calgary's like four.
No, Boston's second. Boston's second overall.
And you're right, 17 back.
17 yeah. up on the second place team in the league.
Yeah, Calgary's four. San Jose's at 93. Boston's at 93. San Jose 92. Calgary 91. Tampa Bay 110.
Yeah, there's no one even close.
With 12 games left.
Like, it's unanimously accepted they're the best team in the league.
By far.
Doesn't mean it's a guarantee that you win the Stanley Cup.
No,
I mean, that's why you play the games.
Regular season, they are hands down the best team in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. So from that standpoint, it's not surprising. You know, I said it off the top of the show today because I've noticed there's been a push from The Athletic today to hand out excuses for this hockey team. Yourself, James Myrtle, although I think, Noodles, you may have been a party to this as well.
No. I simply stated.
There's a lot of, I'm not making excuses, but there's been excuses.
That's not an excuse. That's a reality. What's the difference?
I simply stated. Now, it's different. The Athletic has a mantra, and they've got a...
they're trying to get subscribers.
Exactly. And they know where their bread is buttered in this market. So they're like, okay, we're going to push this narrative. I'm sure the email goes out in the morning from James.
Who sends it, James?
But it must be James. Isn't he the... director?
Yeah, he's the dictator.
So James
he's the dictator
James sends out a narrative. Okay, this is what we're going to spin, Right? Isn't that how you do it?
That's
in
right.
We're going to spin this email.
Propaganda.
Well, don't you have it's a propaganda. Certain app? Aren't you on that like
Slack? You...
Okay, so Slack, because it's...
Slack message, even easier.
It's non-traceable on Slack. This is the narrative we're going to head.
Right.
No, actually, I thought James was quite honest. He said his team...
He doesn't buy it. I told him this, and he didn't agree
with
it.
All right, well, what you said was the Leafs are coming off a West Coast trip, quick turnaround, injuries, there was illness.
Yeah.
Okay. Built-in excuses for a loss. I'll grant you a loss. Yes. I'm not surprised. But not that type of effort.
Yeah.
There's never an excuse for that type of effort.
No.
Sure. You know, their best player came out afterwards and said they quit in the third.
That's not... But you're right. And there's no defending... I like his candor, but he flat out just said it. And I think Nazem just buttered it up a little bit, just sprinkled little flowers on top of it and said, hey, we didn't quit, but it just wasn't our night.
Like, Nazem Kadri, do you want to review the tape side by side, all right? This first is from a guy who's from Phoenix, Arizona, and didn't grow up in a hockey community or the hockey culture surrounding him all the time, where there are certain words that are...
Buzzwords.
Basically, from a kid, you never admit. You never say... Regardless if they're true. You know, I love what Matthew said is 100% true.
So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. What I'm saying is I'm more surprised that he said it in this market. And I'm not sure he's ever going to say it again. We'll see. But this is what Matthew said postgame.
Obviously, the effort kind of just wasn't there at times. And, I mean, I think in the third period we pretty much just quit. So, I mean, that's on us as players. We got to wake up and do a much better job and hold each other accountable and not let Freddie or Sparks you up to dry and make sure we compete a full 60 minutes despite the score.
All right. So
I was at the back of the scrum and I'm like, wait, did I just hear that right? That's... To your point, like, that's unusual.
You don't hear that very often. The Q word is a pretty, you know, it's a poison pill in the sports world to admit to it. Because you got fans that are paying a lot of money. You know, you've got, there's, this
even
is
if we acknowledge
life.
That it happens all the time, right?
Right. It's all right. It's one of those.
Quitting is a little bit different than an off night.
It's human nature when you're down 5-1 that you're not just going to be going as hard.
It is. But I think what Brian's saying, to admit it, is different than to actually do it. Because we all know, and we've all played games and stuff where, or even had scenarios where you're like, yeah, it's done. It's not our night. It's not. But to admit it, like, hey, we knew we were done. Like, that we just kind of quit. You're like, ooh.
That's
admitting it as opposed to living it. They lived it. But then for Austin, just to be honest, like I think it's refreshing, but it's not refreshing because the minute you step outside of the, what do we call it, the vanilla cone, like, you know.
But we
like,
can't have it both ways. We can't want them to be honest and agreed. Then be like, man, why agreed. Are you so honest?
Let me clarify. That's not what I'm trying
to
accomplish here.
You like it.
You're
okay with it.
I'm fine because all he did was call a spade a spade. All he did was admit to what happened.
But
in
so
the
maybe
third.
That should be good in hockey culture. Maybe we should move that way.
I'm all for it. But here's what this is what I think he will say the next time they're in the same situation. This is what we're going to hear out of Austin Matthews next time.
I don't think so. We're not quitters. We've never been like that. We always finish it to the end. You know, did we want a better effort? Of course. I mean, you know, when three pucks go off, you know, skates and into the back of the net in the first period, you're kind of almost like, you know, what just happened sort of thing. So definitely stunned us and, you know, took away our momentum. It's never to regain possession of that. And, you know, certainly showed.
So that's Nazem Kadri. That's a guy who's been in this market a long time.
Yeah, he understands.
He's been in the hockey world, you know, grew up in London, played in the OHL.
Do we quit sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's
occasionally we do.
Okay, so I'm going to play Joe Fan narrative.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews is going to make 11.634. Is that correct, the number?
Yep.
Next year. Okay.
Could be the captain.
I understand that, and he's an amazing player. People are going to be like, hold on a second. You make all this money and you quit. Like, the effort wasn't there. Like, I get it. And that's why I said the word Joe Fan.
Yeah.
Not understanding that there are off nights. And I think...
Which is what I'm trying to... The excuse machine that I'm
And
running.
Austin is probably alluding to that. Hey, it was an off night. We knew it. We knew we didn't have it. And in the third, we'd packed it in. Like, if he would have said packed it in...
It's the same thing.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, a different word. If we have a thesaurus here,
right?
You know, a different word for the word quit. But Nazem walked it back because to your point, Brian, he's been in this market for 8 years.
He's a grizzled vet. Now, it's not like Matthews just made his debut last night. You know, like he's – and listen, if he's going to be the captain, and I think most people expect that he will, and this year he's been talking to the media way more. Hasn't he, Jonas? Like, post-game, he's out there almost after every single game.
Yeah.
It feels like a grooming process.
Yeah.
And I would love for him to be as open and honest and unique and
– Well, that was one of the things that Dion Phaneuf kind of took heat for here is he would never really say anything.
Even when you knew
even when you knew that
was.
They didn't play well, he'd just kind of be very vanilla. And it was like, man, like,
yeah,
say your real feelings. Be emotional.
He spoke every day but never said anything.
Yeah, and, like, he got hit for that.
Yeah, so because he was unlike people.
I think you want your captain to just be honest. Like, just,
well, it's an interesting question. What is the priority when a captain – speaks with the media? Is it to actually hand out information, or is it to protect his own team?
Good question.
And last night is a good example, because I would argue that Matthews didn't do his teammates any favors last night with that honesty. He didn't, even though we all saw it.
But you could argue
that he any favors
did, right? Like that's not going to be. We're not going to make that acceptable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not on us. You know, it's on the guys in the room to make that unacceptable.
Right, but if you come out publicly and say, like, we did this, we did that, aren't you letting everybody else know, like, I'm not sugarcoating this. We weren't good enough, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, but I think, you know, Noodles, you can speak to it because you've been in the NHL rooms. You know, a lot of times they have the old Vegas rule. What, you know, keep it in the room, and what happens in the room stays in the room. How? Because remember, that was a big part of the Freddie Anderson stuff. And Jonas, you referenced it. Was it last year in Philly?
Yeah, it was last year.
And he came out and he spoke publicly. And a lot of the talking heads, a lot of the former players, including our, the O-Dog said it, say it, but say it behind closed doors. Don't, you know, throw your teammates under the bus publicly.
It's
and that
true.
Gets into the whole semantics of it all, and, you know, I played the game and all that kind of stuff. But that's the way a lot of players feel.
But that is, it is, and I that is one of those things where guys who have been in that room, they like, that's how they like to run their family. Now, different families do different things. Auston Matthews is a young player in this family, in that dressing room. If he's going to be a voice and he wants to speak like that, no problem. But whoever runs that family, if it's him or if it's somebody else, they have to be okay with it too. And that's something
we'll see on Wednesday night. Chicago's in here tomorrow night. And that's another platform game last night, though, where the Leafs did not play well. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, will get his take on what Matthews said postgame, the Morgan Rielly story, the Leafs' effort last night in general. Bob in studio next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Don't forget, you can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes as well. That's where you can find the Bobcast. Speak of the devil, our TSN hockey insider, Bob McKenzie, in studio. How do you like these digs, Bob? This is where you do the podcast
sometimes,
a lot of
times. Sometimes do the podcast in here. This is a home game for me and Mulls.
That's right. Mullen is right in his element.
Esteemed producer of
the
podcast.
Oh, Mulls works on the Bobcast?
Yeah,
I didn't know
the
that.
The brains behind that outfit.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
He hits the record button at the end and
double
stop
dipping.
Record at the other end.
Double dipping. I didn't know that.
I think
big stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Those glasses that he's wearing, you've inspired him. He wants to
very
be you, Bob.
Intelligent.
He wants to be you. Very intelligent.
He's going to be too intelligent and highbrow looking for this show.
That's right.
Well, Jonas is wearing a highbrow sweater today.
Got the nice shawl collar going there.
It's nice and cozy. It's important in the winter.
It is.
A Wiser's man.
It is. It's a Wiser's commercial sweater.
Yeah.
No.
It is.
Like, it's that you walk in. Like, I expected Mike Johnson to be wearing that yesterday.
I think I remember Ray Ferraro seeing me after a game when I was wearing this, and he's like, I think he called me, what is it, Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Fred, what was that guy's name?
Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have a pipe that comes with it?
I do have a book.
There you go.
You're an esteemed gentleman.
Very esteemed. Books, many leather-bound books.
That's right. Very esteemed. So we haven't really got into the Maple Leafs playing against supreme competition in the big platform games. We've been discussing more of the Morgan Rielly story. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get your take on it. Auston Matthews, what he said post-game, saying that they quit in the third. But, you know, the Islanders game a couple weeks ago was circled all year, and they were brutal. I understand back-to-back, backup goalie, all that kind of stuff, the built-in athletic excuses. And last night, you know, there were built-in excuses for a loss, but the effort was terrible, and they got smoked. What's up with the Leafs against these high-quality teams on platform games?
Well, I would say it could be, if they want to twist it the right way, it's a gift. And the gift is that it explains to them how lacking they are in those games against that competition. And that's, I mean, if they were winning the games, everybody would be happy and maybe complacent. They can't afford to be complacent now. They've got one job and one job only. They got to beat the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs. So they've got everything about what they do for the balance of this season. Unlike a lot of teams have, you know, a lot of teams are looking over their shoulder. They don't know who they're going to play. The Leafs, for better or for worse, are almost certainly going to face the Boston Bruins. As Kyle Dubas said in his response to Brad Marchand's troll job,
yeah,
it's greater than 90% probability that we'll be meeting the Boston Bruins in the first round,
great.
Which I thought was the perfect response for Kyle Dubas,
yeah.
And as Marchand's was perfect the other way. So you've got to look at what you're not doing and learn from it. And Babcock has said this on multiple occasions that, you know, these are shining examples of where they're coming up short. So it gives you a tangible thing. We got to figure it out. We got to figure out this. We got to figure out that. And so whether you're the management, whether you're the coaching staff, whether you're the players, there should be some reflection going on here and saying, okay, what are we not doing right against these teams? And you got time to figure it out. That to me is a gift, because if you were even playing 500 hockey against them and looking like real good a lot of nights, although, I mean, the loss in Tampa.
They played two good games against Tampa.
That was one of their best games of the year, and they lost 4-1, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. That's the last
even that game, like, it exposed the difference in the two teams. It was special teams.
Yeah.
Like, if you look 5-on-5, they're basically the same. It's Tampa has great special teams.
Yeah. Well, I think Tampa's improved defensively, too.
You know what the big thing is, too? Their second pair, if you want to call it a second pair, with McDonough and Cernak.
Yeah.
Compare that to what the Leafs have, and, like, to me, that's huge.
The gap on the back end.
Bob, I mean, with Tampa, I think it's unanimously accepted they're the best team in the league.
Yeah, although I've said this before, I kind of put Boston and Washington on par with them right now, to be honest with
you. Really?
Like, not in the sense of points, but if you look at the way Washington's played, I mean, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. And look at how well they've played the last month or two. I understand. I'm not taking anything away from what Tampa's done. I think, they deserve the tab as best team in the league. But I don't think Boston and Washington are far off from them. And you can keep in mind, I'm not going to say what happened in October, November, and December doesn't matter, but it's a long way from what happens in March, April, May, and June. And what Boston's done since the new year, and even what they did when they had Bergeron, McAvoy, Chara all out at the same time for weeks, and they've got no Pasternak now. They went down to Tampa recently, and they gave him a lesson.
Well, do you guys buy that whole adversity thing? Like, they've faced, I don't know if I buy this, but, like, nothing wrong has happened in their year.
Tampa, you mean?
Tampa.
Yeah.
Do you buy that difference in the
sometimes
playoffs?
Sometimes it can. It can, but, I mean, you can also skate right by it. You know?
Right.
The only thing I would say is if it comes at a bad time and you don't handle it well, that's when it tests your room to get it back on the rails.
Yeah.
So if you end up getting, for example, rattled and you get off your game plan and you're taking bad penalties, or your top players are not playing like top players because they're more worried about chasing somebody around or something like that, that's where the coach and the core of the room has to get it right back, reeled right back in quickly. And all I think about is the adversity that Chicago, every Stanley Cup team, I believe, has adversity at some point in the playoffs. And I always look for a prime example when Chicago was down against Detroit and Taze was losing his mind in the penalty
box.
And Seabrook had to go over. Like, that to me was adversity. I think they were down 3-2 in that.
They were down in the series 3-1, if I'm
not mistaken. They were 3-1.
And I think they might have been down 3-1 in the game.
Yeah, it was something like it was not looking good. And to me, there was your TSN turning point where it was adversity. You could go one way or the other.
Well, that's a very focused example.
Yes.
But, you know, from a Maple Leaf perspective, I was asked about this earlier today. I was on with Cause, and we got into it because Cause brought up the idea that, you know, even though this team, they're on pace to break another team record for points. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're losing sight of that in Toronto, and I think in large part because the expectations were so high and because they hit the ground running so quickly with these young kids a couple of years ago with Matthews and Marner and Nylander. But they've dealt with real life issues this year. You know, William Nylander, that wasn't some kid negotiating. That was a business play.
Right.
He sat out and he held the team hostage. You know, you could argue it went both ways, but he said, I'm not coming here unless you pay me exactly what I want. And eventually they gave it to him. Auston Matthews got paid and had to negotiate this year for the first time in his life. Mm-hmm. You know, real life decision, real life money. Same thing with Mitch Marner. Now you got the Morgan Riley stuff from last night. And even though he's been exonerated, it happened. It was heavy. It was deep. You know, in that room, they were all talking about it. You know, they're off today, but tomorrow they're still going to talk about it. And I'm sure via text or if they went out for dinner or whatever last night, it would have come up. Does that count as adversity that can help you grow?
I don't know.
Can this help the Leafs, what they've been going through?
Maybe a little bit. You know, say, you know, you got to break it down a lot of different ways. How much of it's personnel? You can't do anything with the personnel because your team's set outside of calling guys up from the Marlies. So whatever shortcomings they might exist, whether you think it's on the blue line or lack of grit up front or whatever you want to say, you know, what it is what it is. And maybe that will be the fatal flaw versus Boston or Tampa in that situation. But, I mean, you can turn around and flip it the other way, too, and say, I don't know whether a lot of the stuff you talked about constitutes real adversity, but, you know, when was the last time a President's Trophy team won the Stanley Cup? 10-plus years, I believe.
Yeah, it has been.
Pretty sure it's 10 years. So, and listen, maybe Tampa's a juggernaut, and maybe they're gonna breeze through the Stanley Cup final, though I don't think anybody breezes through the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they're a legitimately great team. But, you know, I think Boston's a real good team.
And well, it wouldn't surprise any of us if they lost in the second round to either Boston or Toronto, right?
No, it wouldn't be surprising.
It would be an upset, but like it wouldn't be like a monumental upset. We wouldn't be shocked.
Well, hold on. You don't think Tampa losing in the second round would be a monumental?
Those are top five teams.
Not if it's to Boston.
Yeah.
What if it's to Toronto?
But, you know, and I think that
would
more
be
of
an
a
upset.
Surprise.
Yeah.
But not like a huge surprise?
No, but only because the Leafs, this group still has to prove they can, you know, get out of the first round.
Yeah.
And so, but you know,
yeah, I think those would be like Boston just is a little bit more battle tested. They've been a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Leafs, as I said earlier on the show, I think the Leafs in a couple years will look like Tampa, having that core played together so many years. To me, everything is just habit for them. So that one would be more of a an upset. If they do it, I think they match up. I think the Leafs match up well against Tampa, but it would be an upset. Like, Tampa's just steamrolling the league.
And to that point, it might be that Tampa's on such a mission now because they are older, because they've experienced their adversity. When we say they haven't faced any adversity,
that's a good point.
The real adversity they faced was last year in the conference final was multiple years. They would say adversity for us was losing the Chicago Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup final. Adversity is every year in the playoffs since then, not getting back to the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
That's our battle tested. That's our adversity. That's where we've learned from. And the reason why we're drilling everybody and we're 15, 17 points up on everybody else in the league this season is because we're on a mission. Because Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman and Nikita Kucherov and Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat and Alex Killorn and Anton Strahlman, all these guys have this bitter, bitter taste
Colburn,
in their mouth of, in their mind, failure to win it all. And we're not getting any younger, and we don't know if we can keep this band together forever.
Yeah.
So we better get going right now. This is our year. Maybe they are a team of destiny and using that adversity from other years. And what you're seeing is the net result of it is this regular season.
Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider in studio. So last night during the game, the mics picked up on the telecast what sounded like a homophobic slur. And then, of course, it got online at some point post-game, and it ran like wildfire. And immediately people were saying, you know, it's Morgan Riley that said it, and he's guilty. And people ran with it and retweets and likes and all that. And the NHL last night eventually issued a statement saying, we're aware of the accusation, we're looking into it. The Leafs felt like they had an obligation to do the same thing. Kyle Dubas issued a statement last night. We're in Toronto, we're in the bubble, we're on Leafs Twitter, quote-unquote. So we picked up on the kind of fury that came with this. from a league perspective, you know, how big of a story was this last night?
Well, it's not the first time it's happened. It's probably not the last time that it'll happen. Hopefully it is, but it probably won't be, because that's the nature of the world that we live in. And we'd like to think we're getting better, but it's a slow process. I think you got to attack this story on a number of different levels. And the first one was obviously on hockey Twitter and on social media. Everybody loves to rush to judgment. That goes without saying. So, and it's funny because I listened to it very quickly, and there was something that gnawed away at me where I felt like that almost sounds like two different voices. And then I talked to a bunch of other people who were listening carefully to the audio, and they said, for sure, there's two different voices in there. And anyways, so the league will do its due diligence. But in order for the league to suspend a player for making a homophobic slur, either the player has to admit it, or somebody on the ice, preferably an employee of the National Hockey League, that is a referee or a linesman, needs to say, yes, I heard that. I absolutely 100% heard it. And when you get that situation, then there's going to be a suspension, as there should be. Okay? They couldn't even come close to that burden of proof in this one. And once Morgan Riley said, I didn't say it, once Brad Meyer said, I didn't hear him say it, and once they listened to the audio and identified two different voices and a bunch of other things that it may or may not have been, it clouded the issue so much that it was an automatic that the league's going to say, we've investigated it, and we don't believe that he said it. And that's important. The larger issue here is that out of all this comes a teachable moment. And Kyle Dubas and the Maple Leaf organization understood that from the get-go. That once they took care of defending their guy in his honor and saying he didn't say it, that I don't want to call it a performance, but Kyle Dubas at the news conference today, that was a textbook handling of explaining why homophobic slurs are as bad as they are. And the disappointing thing for me is on Twitter, and again, it's on Twitter, and I hesitate to use Twitter as a public opinion poll, but it's amazing to me how many hockey fans think that it's okay to say that. Come on, don't be a snowflake, don't be so soft, heat of battle stuff, da-da-da-da-da. And it's not right. Times change. I'm 62 years old, and I figured out a long time ago a whole bunch of words that we used to use commonly, we're not allowed to use them anymore because they're offensive and they're hateful, and people, whether they're homosexual or whatever the case may be, they are offensive, and they're deeply, deeply offensive, and they hurt people, and they make hockey a game that people don't want to be a part of because they're afraid of the haters, if you will. So it's really important to get that message out, and I think the Leafs did a really good job of that, and it was easy for Kyle Dubas and Morgan Riley to do that because they've been on the right side of this for a long time. They've been to Pride parades. They've been with the You Can Play Project. This is not some, you know, foxhole conversion in the last 24 hours where suddenly the Leafs are jumping up and saying, oh, you know what, we love the gay community. They've gone over and above to do as much as they can on that front. And so, I mean, the rest, as they say, let's just keep trying to be better, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, well, and from Riley's standpoint, you know, I think a large majority of people are going to move on, and he's been totally exonerated, and that's it, you know. But sadly, some people are probably still going to connect this to him, and I'm with you in terms of Twitter, but Twitter's powerful. You know, as much as we may not want to admit it or we don't want to believe it, Twitter has a power in terms of spreading
things. It's only
got
a power if you're there on it and you give it to it. I mean, you'd be surprised how easy it is to take Twitter off your phone, and what's the sound of somebody being an idiot on Twitter? Nothing if you don't listen or read it.
You're right, but the fact is this was created on Twitter. You know, without Twitter, this didn't happen. There's no complaint issued, as far as I know, because yes, the mics picked it up on the telecast, but I don't think somebody in the stands, as far as I know, somebody at home didn't send an email to the CRTC or something, or the NHL, saying, I think I heard something.
No,
what happened is someone ripped it and put it on Twitter, and then it blew up.
Yep.
You know, so in a way, the power of Twitter was on display because the NHL investigated something based on what happened on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, that's just the technology of social media. And hey, listen, in the quote unquote olden days, somebody might have taken the time to, did I hear something there? And run their PVR back and and whatever. And but you're right. It doesn't gain as much traction as quickly as it does.
I was saying to Jonas, I think it was off air and even to Brian, but the fact that Brad Meyer didn't react, like that was one of the things in looking back on it. Because I think, Bob, like you said, the refs and the people around the game now are through education or being conditioned, you know, to react differently. Like, to me, if Morgan Riley, who he had some choice words for Brad Meyer, he was pissed that he was hooked on the play and, you know, he's dropping an F-bomb here or there, which it's standard, you know, standard language out there. And that's, you know, that's kind of accepted. But to me, if Brad Meyer would have heard, I'm sure he heard Morgan Riley using the other F word quite regularly towards him. If he had heard that homophobic slur, I think there would have at least been an unsportsmanlike issued right away.
I can only tell you that the referees more and more and more at their training camp are being encouraged to not let these things slide.
Correct.
To not, you know, to not give guys a free pass on this stuff.
You're right, because it's on them.
Very quickly, because I know we're almost out of time, quite aside from homophobic slurs or racial slurs, like those are the granddaddies of the things you're not supposed to do, it was interesting at the general manager's meeting last week, Colin Campbell basically, it was on the agenda, bad language. Everybody kind of laughed, bad language, you know. You watch Slapshot? Come on, figure it out. But the message to the general managers was, hey guys, just a reminder, in this day and age, everything that's said, whether it's on the bench or on the ice, it's probably being picked up on a microphone somewhere.
Yeah.
So tell your coaches and your players to conduct themselves accordingly, because you never know when that audio is going to see the light of day. Mm-hmm. So we all love it when two players are in the penalty box just giving it to each other, because it's great. It's great video on television and it's back and forth and everything else. If the audio of some of that stuff ever made the light of day, and again, it wouldn't be necessary. It doesn't need to be homophobic. It doesn't need to be racial. But it may be so far offside from what normal standards are that if people heard that, they'd be offended by it.
Well, think of Bruce Boudreaux. Like, I thought that was, I mean, that's just coach language. Remember Bruce on the 20, was it?
Oh, yeah.
The 24-hour? He dropped the F-bomb like 20 times?
Yeah.
People were horrified. I
hope you weren't watching him last night when he tried to get the offside call.
He had the tomato head going last night.
Bruce,
like he was
not
upset.
Happy.
Anyways, that was brought up at the general manager's meeting. And again, I'm not correlating just swearing with a homophobic slur.
Right.
But there was a reminder to all teams, guys, this is the 21st century we're in. Is that right?
That's right.
Is that right, Jonas? You think a smart
I don't
guy?
Know.
You're a trivia guy. Yeah, it's the 21st century. The technology we've got, the microphones, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was so difficult to know who said what last night, because there's 10, 15 microphones all around the ice surface, and anybody could have yelled into one of those microphones at the moment that Morgan Riley was looking at the referee.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. No, that's exactly right. And I think that's a lesson, too. I mean, you know, language and inclusivity and all that is ultimately the most important. But, you know, the mob mentality and pushing it and guilty before, you know, until you're proven innocent, that's scary what's going on with society. But that's where we are in 2019. I don't expect that to change anytime soon either. Good stuff, Bob. We'll do it again later in the week. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Cleveland won their NBA title last night by beating up on the Raptors. Now they roll into Philly. They're going to get crushed tonight. 14-point underdogs, but I am going to lay the points. I'm on the Sixers big tonight. I'm going to take the Lakers. As bad as they've been, they're at Chicago. I think they can beat Chicago tonight. And I'll take the points with New Orleans at home. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050, because 1050 and redtag.ca want to send you on a Maple Leaf playoff roadie to enter. Just follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. Look for our playoff road trip post every Monday morning and tag a road friend, and on Friday, if we name your name or name your handle, you will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and win that trip. All the details up on the website, tsn1050.ca. Jonas, Great stuff. Do we see you at all the rest of the week? When are you back in here?
I don't know. I don't think the rest of the week. So you'll
really?
See me right. at the Blackhawks game tomorrow.
You're going to be down there tomorrow night?
Did yeah. a great job
Should
today.
Be interesting.
Good stuff, Jonas. Always great to see you.
Read The Athletic.
We do.
We have propaganda, apparently.
The propaganda.
I read it every day. I'm a subscriber.
I subscribe.
Nice.
Thing
to
is,
the propaganda.
Is just, like I say, when what is it called? Slack.
What's yeah, Slack.
When Slack nice. Goes out in the morning, and Myrtle says it's got to be a puff piece, then you know here we go. Who'd you have for Calder? You had Johansson or something for Calder. The
no,
other day.
I said he could be a finalist.
It was clickbait. It was
Andreas
clickbait.
Janssen. No.
Yes, Janssen.
He might be one of the top three.
He might be a finalist.
He
That's
might.
Not crazy
I mean,
at all.
No, Patterson and Dahlin, or I think yeah, Patterson's going to win it. But who's the yeah. third guy?
Exactly.
They're trying to make a case.
The propaganda
making
machine.
A case for Bennington. So
well,
there you go.
Listen, he's in a playoff spot
You're
now.
Right. I don't know.
All right, Noodles. Good seeing you, man. You and I have no idea yes. who's in here with us tomorrow,
we'll
but the two of us will be in here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.